Our text this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verse 6. The concluding words of that verse: "Wilt thou be made whole?" John chapter 5 and verse 6. Now, it was the time of a feast, probably the Passover, and Christ, along with his disciples, went up to Jerusalem, near a place which is called here the Sheep Market. But market is in italics, which means that it's been supplied. The margin offers, therefore, another rendering, the Sheep Gate. And it probably is the Sheep Gate, which is referred to in Nehemiah chapter 3 and Nehemiah chapter 12. But market isn't a mistranslation, because it was probably called the Sheep Gate because at that gate sheep were sold for sacrifice in the temple. Anyway, near to this Sheep Gate there was a pool, a reservoir. Now, this actual reservoir was discovered by archaeologists in 1888, and it existed under a Christian church. The pool had five porticos to it, or covered colonnades, and into these invalids gathered, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and so on. It was called Bethesda, which means the house of mercy. And scripture tells us that there were times when an angel stirred the waters of this pool, and the first to enter the pool after that movement of the waters was granted healing. However, one man in the crowd that day who gathered there, a rather pathetic crowd, weakly group of people, had suffered an affliction for 38 years. And at this particular time, the Lord Jesus Christ came to the pool. Somebody commenting on this wrote these words: "Mercy loves the haunts of misery." And it was the merciful Savior who visited the place of misery. Christ knew all about this man, and he said to him these words: "Wilt thou be made whole?" At first reading, they're strange words, because we would say, well, of course he wanted to be healed. Why do you think he was there? He'd suffered for 38 years, no less. There can be no doubt that he wanted to be made whole. But the reason why Christ asked the question may be, in the first place, to impress upon the man the seriousness of his condition. And secondly, perhaps it was to raise his hopes that a cure might be forthcoming. And thirdly, perhaps it was to strengthen his desire. Wilt thou be made whole? Whatever the reason for Christ asking this question, there are three things which we can observe from the text tonight. The first is the Savior's love. The second is the Savior's ability. And the third is the Savior's invitation. And I want to show that all three of those things are in the text. Wilt thou be made whole? First of all, the Savior's love. Now, there can be no doubt that this man was in a sad and sorry state. And as with all the miracles, such a person as this is the emblem of a sinner, such as Jesus came to save. We notice about this man certain physical matters and can easily relate them to spiritual matters. First of all, he had a terrible problem within him. He was helpless. He was impotent. He couldn't stand. He couldn't walk. The sinner, of course, like him, has a great problem within which has impaired every faculty, problem which has ruined his life. It's the problem of sin, and it's deep within the heart. Now, this poor man, as a result of his problem, he couldn't walk. He couldn't even raise himself. He certainly couldn't move himself into the waters at the favored time. He was, in effect, paralyzed. And the sinner is similar to this man in this respect, that the sinner is quite incapable of walking in obedience to the commandments, quite incapable of walking in the way of God's precepts. He's unable to do that because of his problem, because of sin. The man we've got before us is quite helpless in himself. The terms which Jesus uses hints at that. Wilt thou be made whole? Help must come from outside of you. You can't help yourself. But the poor man says in verse 7, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. So he was not only helpless himself, but he'd not found in life anyone to assist him. Certainly no one to cure him. Thus the sinner. He can't save himself from sin. And outside of Christ, there is no other. There's no other who can lend any help. The Bible therefore says this in Romans 5 of us, we are without strength. But here was a man in John 5 who was in the place where you would think remedy could be found. It was the place where supernatural activity sometimes took place. And he came down to these porticos. We get the sense, although we're not told it in so many words, but we get the sense he would have done this day after day. perhaps friends, relatives, bringing him to the place, lying him down there, laying him down there, and leaving him there all day. So he was in the place where, if anywhere blessing was to come, it would come there, through a visitation of God. And yet, he was no bettered by that. 38 years he'd had it. We don't know how long he'd been coming to the pool. But a fair while, I suppose. And it didn't profit him. And so it is with unbelieving sinners. They come to the church. They come to the means of grace. They come to the channels of blessing in the church. And they're there. And they listen to the preaching of the gospel, but it doesn't help them, and it doesn't meet their deepest need. I suspect, with the impotent man, that he was greatly discouraged. Maybe that lies behind the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He'd got himself into such a condition that he was paralyzed spiritually. I mean, he couldn't dare hope now for a cure after all these years. His situation, he concluded, was hopeless. And sinners often think that. Sinners often come to the conclusion that their case is desperate. And since there has been no answer hitherto and no hearing of prayer, there's unlikely to be now. We've almost lost the desire, the hope of being saved. Well, this man was in that case. But if we looked at him, and we looked at him day after day, we would say that his condition was not improving. His condition was worsening. Impotency is something that, because it deprives of life and activity and exercise, it takes its toll upon a man's physical mobility. And this man was becoming more infirm by the day, weaker and weaker. And the sinner's just like it. You see, he doesn't stay in the same condition and state. He waxes worse and worse. And at this point in time, he's without hope. The sinner can reach a point where he's without hope. Nothing you say can lift the darkness that prevails upon his mind and upon his heart. He's given up. Hence the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He might have replied, "Lord, I'd forgotten that there could be such a thing. It never entered my mind to think that I might be cured." He was hopeless. And then we see the Saviour's love. When Jesus saw him lie, verse 6, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. So he knows all about this man. He saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Such an overture of mercy on the part of Christ course, Christ is mercy incarnate. He's called the mercy promised to our fathers. The tender mercy of our God. That's what he is in himself. And the mercy which is so plenteous in him, which fills him, is activated by the sight of misery. When God's people were in great trouble in the Old Testament, it says that in his mercy he redeemed them. It was the sight and awareness of what his people were suffering that stirred mercy to rise and to go out to those people. And so Christ, the mercy of God, comes into this pool, looks at this man, and sees his wretched condition. And mercy moves in his heart, is activated at the sight of this poor man's estate. And our Lord feels what the Bible calls tender mercy. It means a mercy which is very kind, very pitiful. He feels that within himself, and it rises with such power in the heart of Jesus that he's inclined to relieve this man. He wants to relieve this man. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And having risen within him, this mercy is ready to do something for this man. What can mercy do? It's the mercy of God. And therefore, this mercy can make him whole. All it needs is for this mercy to be directed by Christ's will and to be exhibited in an action, and all will be well. And so we're about to see something staggeringly wonderful, breathtakingly supernatural. Mercy in operation. And I want to stress that there was nothing in the man that was the cause of his relief. It was something in Christ that was the cause of his relief. Mercy in Jesus' heart, pity. Now you may say to me, well, it was only to one man. But my friends, the mercy of God, we learn from other scriptures, is wide, it is diffusive. It can be general. Remember at the end of Matthew 9, how Jesus beheld the multitudes that were scattered and having no shepherd, and he had compassion upon them. He had mercy upon them. The multitudes. And no doubt there were very sad people amongst them, and some particularly distressed and afflicted, but he had compassion on the multitude, as he had compassion on the whole of Jerusalem, the holy city. When he wept over it, it was mercy which made every tear that dropped from his countenance. It was mercy which made him lament the unbelief of that holy city, and which longed that those inhabitants and citizens may be saved. So I want to remind you of the Saviour's love. It's great in this passage. He came to where the poor man was. He comes to where you are. He doesn't come with hard thoughts. Ah, they've done it. They've messed up big time. There's no way in which I can help them. He comes with mercy which is greater than your unbelief. With mercy which can overcome what sin has done and can restore you. The Saviour's love. And your hope tonight, if you're an unbeliever, is in the Saviour's heart. That he loves sinners, that in his love he will pity them and commiserate with them, and he will fly to their relief. Wilt thou be made whole? The second thing here is the Saviour's ability. I return to the words, wilt thou be made whole? Do not these words suggest to the sufferer, the impotent man, that Christ was both willing and able to save him? Christ wasn't mocking the man, tantalizing him, goading him in some way. The implication is, I have power to make thee whole. That's why I'm here. Wilt thou be made whole? I know that you cannot make yourself whole. And therefore I don't frame it in those words. Wilt thou make thyself whole? But I am saying, wilt thou be made whole? By me, that is. I am able to do what no other can do. The Saviour's ability. It's pleasant to reflect on this. He has ability to save. That's what it says in Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost. And whence comes that ability? Well, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And nothing is beyond God. Complain as you will, nothing defies God in his ability. He is able to save the worst of sinners, the Zacchaeuses of this world, the Mary Magdalenes, the Sauls of Tarsus. He is God. And here is your poor condition, wretched and vile, in itself hopeless, but set it beside him who is God manifest in the flesh, it is hopeful. Because he is the Almighty. He is omnipotent. He can do all things. And he is the appointed deliverer. He's the one set up from everlasting. He was separated in the divine decree to be the deliverer of sinners, and God chose wisely. He laid help upon one that is mighty, the scripture says, knowing that his son would assume that responsibility and he would succeed in that endeavor to deliver men. He's able. When in eternity the Son consented to the proposal to be the deliverer and said that he would come in the fullness of time to do the Father's will, he obviously believed, the Son of God, I mean, that he was able to save sinners. To that end, authority has been given to Christ. Authority in heaven and in earth. The Spirit of God has been given to Christ without measure. And therefore, there is no case ever brought before him where Christ lifts his hands, shrugs his shoulders, and says, I can do nothing. And that's the amazing thing when you read the Gospels. Miracle after miracle. But at no single point was our Lord frustrated as an intention. At no single point did he admit to defeat. His disciples did. And they could not heal a certain man. And the Father brought him to Jesus, complaining that the disciples couldn't do anything. And he did something. He is able. How would he do it? Will he do it by his word here? He says, he speaks to the man, he says, wilt thou be made whole? And it was through that word that the cure effectively began, because the man began to will and want to be healed and to be made whole. And then our Lord exerted the power towards this man to his weak and limp and unmoving limbs. And the power of God converged upon this shrunken, withered individual. And as at the beginning when God made the first man of the dust of the ground and brought it all together, this man's strength was brought together again. His abilities were brought together. And when Jesus said to him then, rise, take up thy bed and walk. That's exactly what he did. I want to nail the lie that you may be a hopeless case. Nail the lie that you are beyond rescue, that you've passed redemption point, that there's nothing anyone can do for you. And all you have before you is a life of despair leading to an eternity of despair. I nail the lie in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It cannot be so. He is able. You may complain of the magnitude of your sin. You may complain of the fact that you've got a heart hardened with unbelief. You may complain of the fact that you've spurned mercy before. You may complain of the fact that you're in love with your own sin. You may complain of the fact that you find in you a resistance to everything that is godly and everything that pertains to the Savior. Even so, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says, I am the chief and he saved me. Unless you put yourself above the Apostle Paul and say, I'm worse than he. Which makes the scripture a falsehood. Unless you can do that, my friends, you are salvable. Because he is mighty to save. The Savior's ability. Wilt thou be made whole? I can do it. Will you call on me and ask me then? The Savior's love, the Savior's ability, and as I close, the Savior's invitation. It's there in the text. Wilt thou be made whole? If I expand that a little, paraphrase it to bring out the meaning of it, isn't Jesus saying this in those words, wilt thou be made whole? Do you wish to be cured? Are you willing for me to cure you? Here I am, ready to save you, ready to deliver me. Ask me. That's the invitation. Ask me. And I will do it. Christ was pressing this invitation upon him. He was saying, if you're ready, my friend, I'm ready. I call on you to apply to me, to look toward me, to utter a prayer directed at me. I invite you to put yourself in my hands so that I may save you. Wilt thou be made whole? It's almost as if Christ says to this man, oh, reply, my friend. I come with the invitation. Respond. Just say yes. And I will completely cure you. And wholly save you. This is the moment of your greatest opportunity. Wilt thou be made whole today? That invitation goes out to people in this congregation and in every congregation. Wilt thou be made whole? He is near. He is speaking to you. He knows your state. He reads your agony. He turns to your comfort. Wilt thou be made whole? The invitation is extended. The reply must be forthcoming. all the man had to say was, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus would make him whole. And all you have to do is respond to the Savior's call, and you will be saved. I leave you with the Savior's invitation. Wilt thou be made whole? We shall sing our closing psalm, which is number 30. The tune